The Time Traveling Robots in Space is brought to you by Audible.com. Get a free audiobook download at audibletrial.com/galacticnetcasts. Over 100,000 titles to choose from for your iPhone, Android, Kindle, or MP3 player.
The Time Traveling Robots in Space podcast starts now.
It is Thursday, October 18th, 2012, and welcome to yet another Galactic Netcast. This is Time Traveling Robots in Space, number 48. From Waterloo, Iowa, I'm Dave Nelson. Joining me as always, from Glendale, California, Paul Swickard, and from Denton, Texas, Anessa Moyens. How are you guys?
Doing good. How are you?
I'm not too bad. Paul, what's going on in Glendale?
Oh, man. It's always Glendale. Glendale is Glendale. It's kind of like gravity. It just, Glendale is, it's a state of being. It's not so much that you're, you know, it's a place to be. It's an experience. And if I can do something useful while Glendale is willing, so much the better.
Okay. So what you're saying is I can be Glendale without being in Glendale, right?
You can have a Glendale sentimentality while not being in Glendale. This is true. However, you really can't, like, you can accidentally be Glendale and not realize it, but you have to experience the Glendale in order to be able to, you know, recognize these
okay.
Signs.
So you won't recognize the Glendale in yourself without being actually in Glendale.
I don't believe so. Okay. I mean, we call these things by a number of names, like, you know, just dental, bigotry, unkindness, you know, torturing small animals, things like that.
White trash, you know, and then, maybe? Is that part? Does that factor in?
I don't know. Maybe I can see where you would say that, but it's, I don't know. It's different. It's just different.
Okay, I think we get the gist. This is good
all
stuff.
Right. That's all we really needed.
All right. This is Time Traveling Robots in Space number 48. Hey, I already mentioned that. The show where we discuss all things associated with time travel, robots, and space in science and science fiction. We do it by running down a new story from each subject and then discuss our related entertainment picks. And then, to top off all that, ask and answer the question of the week. Now, that's a jam-packed podcast.
Wonderful. I like it.
All right, let's do it. For the audio subscribers, if you'd like to see us record the show, see how beautiful we all are, just follow us on Twitter, Facebook, or Google+, and you'll get notified for future reference. The webpage that you can watch us on is galacticnetcasts.com/live. And as Anessa spins, let's get the show on the road here and start with this.
Sector 1, time travel.
All right, I have not pre-read these stories, so this is all new to me.
This is going to be fun.
All right, Mike. Oh, I'll
help you out.
I saw this story. I was hoping that we'd talk about this. Michael Bay producing a found footage time travel movie. This sounds interesting. As if Michael Bay didn't have enough to do, prepping one film, finishing another, he and his Platinum Dunes partners just sold a top secret found footage film to Paramount. It's called Almanac and was written on spec by Andrew Stark and Jason Pagan. I wonder if Jason Pagan is a religious person. With Dean... okay.
That would be hilarious. I thought we were going to go somewhere different, but you turned it around on me, sir. Good job.
Okay, these names got to be made up. Jason Pagan and Dean Israelite? Come on, really?
Ha! You have a pagan and you have an Israelite. That's great. I love it.
This got to be real. Okay. They're all newcomers, though Israelite is the cousin of Jonathan Liebsman. Not a lot is known about the film, but sources tell us it's very much in the vein of Chronicle, except with time travel instead of superheroes. The Hollywood Reporter broke the news of the deal. Their story says that Stark and Pagan had been developing their script for the past year with Platinum Dunes before selling it to Paramount. The studio will reportedly move aggressively and swiftly with it. All right. I like those words, those adjectives. Found footage movies are no-brainers in Hollywood. They're cheap, profitable, potentially franchise starters with very little risk. Worst case scenario, the film takes a hit at the box office and eventually turns a small profit. Man, you can tell this came from the Hollywood Reporter or one of those industry magazines because just the way it's written, you know, it's very insidey.
Yeah. And they like putting the persona that they have somehow, you know, special information that none of the rest of us have, which might be true, but they'll make that claim regardless of whether they do or not. If that makes sense.
That's pretty ballsy.
I think it's part of the industry. I think it's just like, you know, it's a persona that they want to put forward. Everybody has to appear in the know.
So I'm really excited about this.
We should probably explain. It took me a couple times. We should probably explain what a found footage film is.
Okay. Well,
like the Blair Witch Project.
Yeah. Yeah. It's
right.
Blair Witch Project. It's Paranormal Activity. It's what are some other ones?
Cloverfield,
yes, that's a great example because that's interesting because it's the whole movie is on one tape. It's the exact length of a certain kind of tape that you were able to buy back in the mid-2000s. I forget what kind it is.
And, yeah, I don't know. See, the only thing that I found kind of strange, I don't know. Bay is kind of for these... Do I really have to say it? Just over the top, just ridiculous type of special effects. So that and that combined with found footage film doesn't mesh well with me. I don't understand what they're going for there.
Yeah. Yeah, I really can't see him.
So what's it going to be? Like something with a camera and then like a crazy explosion right in his face?
Yeah. I don't know. Maybe he's turning a new stone. I'm mixing my metaphors. Maybe he is turning
a new leaf.
A leaf. There it is. That's the object I was looking for.
Maybe, I like stone.
Stone. It's like turning stone. Isn't there a Turning Stone Brewery or something like that? Turning Stone ice cream or something like that.
Like. Marble slab or cold stone?
Cold stone, yeah. But there was a turning stone something. I don't know.
Oh, David.
Yeah, that's not the first time somebody said that. So,
Turning Stone Resort and Casino.
Okay. All right. So I'm really excited about the fact that we might be onto a new hot movie type here with the whole time travel thing. Because Looper, I think Looper was a great push towards this. Looper's success, I think.
And it did really well.
Yeah. So it shows that this genre can make some money. So I'm hoping that we see a lot more time travel stuff. And that would be good for us. It would be good for this podcast.
Oh, sure. Yeah. Yeah, for sure. I don't know. We'll see. I don't have a lot of faith in Bay.
No, I don't either.
Whatever. Yeah. He's not direct. That's certainly something.
Okay.
I suppose what you can expect is, at the very least, the movie will probably look good.
Okay. The logo.
It will be a dollar theater movie for me.
Yeah, you think? What if it's just awesome? What if it just turns out to be the best thing ever?
I'll have to wait and see. Like, I don't know. I'll have to check out the teasers.
Honestly, I think Bay may have gotten to a point where we won't give him credit. Like, he may, like, you know, he'll just say, oh, well, he just produced the thing. He didn't direct it, so screw that guy.
I like the fact that we're putting so little stock in Michael Bay that he might actually surprise us, and this might actually be a good...
Who does? Who do you know of that says, damn, I have to see the new Michael Bay movie. It's going to be awesome.
There's someone out there, I'm sure.
Yeah, there's got to be.
Lonely soul.
Yeah, but I don't think we know them. I don't think any of us know those people.
Although, if they want to call us and let us know that they're that one person,
yeah,
that'd be awesome.
Yeah, 805-328-3966 is our voicemail number. So call us and let us know. You had more, Paul?
No, I could go on a friggin' rant on Michael Bay, but yeah. Okay. If anyone, Dave, you're right. If anyone out there can give me an honest rundown of why they think Michael Bay is a good director, I will listen. But I can't promise I won't laugh at you. And I can't promise that I will not try to pick it apart. I'm sorry. And it's not a knock against you. It's just Michael Bay. And what makes it worse is if you hear that guy talk, he views himself as an old school filmmaker. Like just kind of like puts himself in with all these classic type ideas. And I just, it irritates me to no end. The man is deluded. Okay. We've already spent too much time on Michael Bay. So much I'm not interested
We could do a whole podcast on you talking about Michael Bay and your hate for Michael Bay and Anessa's love-hate relationship with Dr. Pepper. It could be a whole show.
It could. And then what was your rant?
Bay and Pepper.
Pepper in the Bay.
Pepper in the Bay. I like that.
I got to write that down for our title, for our show title.
Welcome to another episode of Pepper in the Bay.
Pepper in the Bay.
Is it Pepper and the Bay or Pepper in the Bay?
Pepper in the Bay?
Kind of like and the Bay.
Pepper
and the Bay?
Kind of like the and.
Pepper and the Bay.
Sounds like a 1970s.
Right, it sounds like
a cop show.
Well, it sounds like right up your alley, Dave. It's like some stupid morning show.
Like Dingo and the Baby.
You're listening to another episode of Pepper and the Bay. And
honk,
like,
honk.
Except you can't actually say that. You have to have 20 freak sound effects from the start and the end.
You know, radio is an interesting beast. You know, you got to love it. You got to hate it. You know, there's a lot of love, a lot to love and a lot to hate as far as radio goes.
I don't mind even a moderate amount of sound effects, but it just gets so like. Just,
yeah, sometimes we get carried away and it's.
Well,
like,
I start hearing it and I'm like, you're just killing time. That's all you're doing. I know that's what you're doing. Stop it.
Okay. All right. Before we
talk to the president of radio, Dave, do that. It's your job.
All right. As that will be my platform when I run for president of radio. No more special effects. all right. So, time travel movie produced by Michael Bay, found footage, go. Well, I'm sure we'll hear back more from this sometime in the future. All right. So we would love to know, like we said before, call our voicemail number, 805-328-3966. If you are a hardcore Michael Bay fan, we want to hear from you. You can email us as well if you're too timid to talk on the phone. GalacticNetcasts@gmail.com. That is our voicemail number. Or follow us on Twitter, Facebook, Google+, and send us a comment through the social networks. All right, let's move on to this right here.
Sector 2. Robots.
Paul, you've got the robot story of the week.
Speaking of shitty directors. okay, so... actually,
we're both
he's...
back.
Actually, he's not that bad. You may recall a couple of years ago, we were expected to have a Terminator 5, that being the one right after the Terminator Salvation, and it was supposed to be directed by Justin Lin. Justin Lin, as you all know, has directed Fast 5, which I thought was good for what it was supposed to be. Like, you know, I'm not above the, certainly not the popcorn, and that's exactly what Fast 5 was. It was just a stupid popcorn movie. I don't know how well that would work with a Terminator movie, but now, for better or for worse, we will not get that Terminator.
Oh.
Unfortunately. Sorry. I could see why, and we're going to get to that. So, a few unnamed sources have said that they have had some huge problems with the script. Huge is highlighted. Sources also gave us the first hint of the T5 plot, and you can see why it really never got off the ground. The whole thing was supposed to be based around the resurrecting of Kyle Reese and Sarah Connor in an alternate dimension.
Oh my God. Yeah, thank God that was not made.
Can you imagine? Like, you're literally, it's almost literally a remake. Yeah, like, how else would you describe it? Mm-hmm. And if you're making a remake, you're either going up against Ridley Scott or James Cameron. Pick your execution. I don't care. So, anyway, again, according to inside sources, the premise of T5, which incidentally also includes Arnold Schwarzenegger's involvement, was to send the original Terminator, to an alternate dimension where Kyle and Sarah lived on. This also meant you could keep the original cast of Linda Hamilton and Michael Biehn. By the way, seen either of those two people lately? Holy crap.
Pretty rough.
I didn't meet her, but I did see Linda Hamilton in person once. And she's cool. You know, I mean, she's not bad looking. They're just, this movie was made 30 years ago.
Yeah.
Almost.
Yeah. It's an old and, movie. Yeah. I mean, they're getting up there in age. People age.
Which is fine. But if you're going to do the whole alternate dimension thing, you might run into a few aging problems.
Yeah.
this also meant that you could have the original cast of Linda Hamilton and Michael Biehn set in the characters' futures. Unsurprisingly, the script never locked down, and eventually Lin had to get back to work. So he left the project and returned to making Vin Diesel and a Fast Star film. We will never know what could have been the horribleness or awesomeness of a Justin Lin Terminator film.
Okay, Paul, you kind of glossed over where you got the story from. What's the name of the website where this story originates?
This is from IO9.
That's not what I'm looking for. That's not the website I'm looking for, Paul. This
that one. I see. IO9 sounded respectable. This is from moviehole.net. That again, ladies and gentlemen, is moviehole.net. Movie H-O-L-E, hole.
I love that website name.
By the way, anyone insider saying that they have some inside source to Movie Hole, I am calling shenanigans. There you go.
Inside.
But yes, I got this from IO9.
Okay, good. Yeah, we love IO9. Big fan of IO9 and Blaster both. Both good stuff on those websites.
Yeah. And I never saw Terminator Salvation just because I knew it would be awful. In either of you guys seen it?
I've only seen the first two.
I've seen
that's really all you need to see.
Salvation was okay. I mean, it's not terrible. It was, I'm trying to be nice. I'm trying to find the positives. It looked good. It was a good looking movie. I thought it was interesting how they brought Schwarzenegger in without actually him being in the movie.
Right.
So.
Didn't it? Wasn't it just CG?
Yeah, it was just CG. But it was Arnold's head. I mean, he was, there he was.
Yeah, I hear you. Yeah, I saw Terminator 3. That movie was not good.
That was not
good. It had some.
Not good. No.
No. It was fine. You know, it was just, you know, it was trying to be serious, and you could tell that it was trying to be serious, and it just never worked. Like, you never really bought it. Like, the reasons for doing some of the things, like, for example, this was the first time that they had a female Terminator. And the whole reason they tried to have a female Terminator was just to introduce this whole idea of her being a little bit more manipulative.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't... Right, thanks. That's what it was about.
Well, you know, you have to look at it this way. Without Terminator 3, there may never have been Terminator the Sarah Connor Chronicles.
I saw a couple of those episodes. Wasn't overly impressed. I didn't hate it.
Yeah. No. It was not too bad.
So you're saying that without Terminator 3, we wouldn't have gotten a crappy Terminator television show. Is that what you're saying?
Sure. Why not? What the hell?
All right. So, yeah, I guess Justin Lin can go on making Fast Five films.
Yeah. You know, the last thing.
And I'm okay with that.
The last thing that I heard was that they were going to get, like, Schwarzenegger, he was actually going to star in this, and they were going to get, they had some big people behind this. So I'm kind of surprised that, but actually I'm not, after reading the story, the possible story for it. I'm not surprised that it didn't work out.
The script, I can't.
Yeah.
Why would you go the alternate dimension route? I don't understand that.
The only time, like, the only way I could see that working is if, like, one of the Terminators was actually traveling through time and somehow a rift opened and they got shot into an alternate dimension and they actually, it was part of the whole time traveling thing. That, you know?
But, okay. So they screwed up in some way and somehow boom, just got plunged into an alternate dimension.
Yep. Pew! There he goes.
Like, I don't know what happened. I wasn't supposed to be back here. I can't do a very good Michael Biehn impression. All he does, you know that man, like, in, for those of you who don't know, is Reese in the original Terminator. But he, that guy, like 90% of the films that he's ever done, he's always a military guy. Always. It's crazy. Like, he was that way in The Abyss, he was that way in The Abyss, and he was that way in Aliens.
You know what? He's an actor that I'd never pick up on. Like, I never realize it's him. People have to point that out and go, that's the guy from who was also in that one movie, you know? He doesn't really stand out for me.
Totally.
All right, let's move on, shall
we? Maybe that's why he's always a military guy. Maybe that's why he's a military dude, just because he's so, like, generic.
I know why he doesn't stand out for me. He's always a military guy because, and then he's in camouflage. He just blends in.
Thanks, Dave. Yes, you were saying. Moving on.
Okay, Anessa, do you have anything to add before we move on? Okay. Thanks. The time traveling.
No problem.
The time traveling robots in space, brought to you by Audible. This reminds me of Major League, the whole Euchre, his color man. He never Bob says Euchre. Anything.
Yeah.
I have a friend that's related to Bob Euchre.
I know his niece.
Oh really? Wow. Okay.
Yeah. Kind of crazy.
All right. Before we continue on that train of thought, the time traveling robots in space is brought to you by audible.com. See, we could go on for a long time on that tangent, but let's just nip it in the bud for now. We'll come back to it. We'll revisit that later. Just want to get this in before we continue on. Audible.com for you, the Galactic Netcast listeners or viewers. Audible is offering a free audiobook download with a free 30-day trial to give you the opportunity to check out their service to go along with the theme or the themes of this podcast. May we suggest Reality 36 by Guy Haley. And here's the very brief description of the book. Richards, a level 5 AI with a pie fetish, that's P-I, not P-I-E, and his partner, Klein, a decommissioned German military cyborg, are on trial for murder. But the killer has hidden inside a fragmenting artificial reality. Richards and Klein must stop him before he becomes a god for the good of all realities. So check out Reality 36 on audible.com. Go to audibletrial.com/galacticnetcasts. And we thank Audible for their support of the time-traveling robots in space. And I think this is probably the most exciting story of this episode, and Anessa has the privilege of talking about this.
Space jump!
Yay!
It happens.
And sadly, I was nowhere that I could actually watch it live. I was out in the middle of nowhere.
You missed out.
Fun times.
I had it. I was sitting right here in this chair doing some stuff on the computer with the space jump on the one side of the screen and the other stuff on the other side.
Sweet. So yeah, that crazy, awesome Felix Baumgartner jumped off the edge of the space. From 127,000 feet of altitude all the way back down to Earth, breaking the world's records and getting vital information for NASA in the process. Watch as he jumps out of the capsule. It's a frightening, adrenaline-fueled, historic moment.
Yeah, let's watch this. Let's watch it real quick.
So,
sure.
We can watch just a little bit of it.
I think there's a promo.
Oh, it is?
I don't know.
You'll get the gist of it.
So, all right, I guess we'll press play.
I was amazed at how... Are you guys seeing this? Is it playing for you guys?
Yeah.
It's not.
It's playing for me.
Oh, okay.
Is it not playing for you?
No, but that's cool. I saw it.
So what I was going to say is I was amazed at how clear the video is all the way up. From the time that they leave ground to the time they get to the altitude where he jumps. It's just, it's amazingly clear video. It probably helped that they had Red Bull behind. They had all that Red Bull money.
Red Bull didn't waste the opportunity.
Wow.
Well, that guy's been with Red Bull for a really long time.
You mean Felix has?
Yeah. He's been doing stunts for them for years, since I think right after they started.
I was genuinely scared for him for a while. Like, I was almost kind of like half holding my breath because they showed one of the angles they showed was him just spinning out of control, and I'm going,
yeah,
oh my god,
that was the scariest part about it, for sure.
Yeah.
Was the way he started spinning, because by his own admission, he was like, he's like, I didn't know how I was going to get out of that.
It's crazy.
Yeah. I don't know. That'd be really scary.
It's like, what do you do?
There's so,
I've never done it before. It's like,
there's so many awesome things about this jump. Like just the video of him reaching the apex or the highest point where he jumps from and seeing the curvature of the earth and seeing the darkness above. You know, you're at the edge of space and he's jumping out of basically a space capsule is what it is, you know?
Yeah.
And then he lands when they show him, he's, it's the most gentle landing ever. It's like he's stepping back onto the earth. Like nothing, like he didn't just jump from 200 some thousand feet up, you know?
Oh yeah, absolutely. It was, he nailed it. I mean, there was also, wasn't there a thing I thought was a malfunction with his visor?
Yeah, there was. The thing that kept it from not freezing up broke. So basically, for a lot of the part of the way down, he was blind. Like ice was covering his helmet because the defrost broke. It was a defrost situation.
Defrosting situation.
Yes. So yeah, along with the records that Felix broke, this also broke the most people to ever watch a live stream on the internet, I think.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
That's kind of awesome.
I can see that.
Oh. So,
Felix actually says that one of the most exciting moments was standing out of the world 30 seconds before stepping off. On the step, I felt that the whole world was watching. I said, I wish they would see what I see. It was amazing. There was a time I really thought I was in trouble. I had to decide to fight all the way down, and I finally got stable. This has started apparently out of control. That spin became so violent, it was hard to know how to get out of it. I was able to get it under control and break the speed of sound. So.
God. Did you guys hear if he ever said that if he could hear his sonic boom? Was that talked about?
Oh, I don't know. That's a big question.
I don't know, honestly. I don't know. Would you hear it?
I don't know.
I don't know.
Like,
no one's ever done it, so.
You're traveling faster than your sound wave travels,
okay.
I think.
Okay.
So, well, that's a good point.
Yeah.
That's exactly breaking the sound barrier. So no, you wouldn't hear it.
You wouldn't hear it. I don't think.
No, I don't think you would.
Good point.
Yeah,
that doesn't make any
sense. It's always with even with just like airplanes flying overhead, you see them before you hear the sound, and so I'd imagine they don't seem as loud as.
So the sonic boom.
They don't hear it as much.
The sonic boom would be way high up, like because that's where it would start, well, right?
Right. Well, I mean, it's not that it's like way high up because they've done sonic booms on the Earth's surface.
Yeah, no,
cars.
That's not what I'm saying. It's
so,
just
yeah,
like,
no, it's just saying that yeah, like he's traveling faster than the sound wave is, and so he's ahead of it.
Okay.
So eventually, right. Perhaps like when he, if he were to be able to actually stop and turn around and or just wait, then it would finally catch up with him. But it's not something that he would hear. So.
Well,
I don't know how far the sound travels or how far people like could people hear it? I mean, on the ground.
I'm sure some people. Could hear
like,
it.
I'm sure they would have heard something, but yeah, I don't know if he might have heard kind of a faint was left of the sonic boom.
Hmm.
Awesome energy.
Well, I think that Felix should one up this and try to break the speed of light next.
Good.
Yeah.
Yes, let's do that.
It's a good goal to have, but I don't. Yeah, I don't see that happening.
Why not? Let's go for it, man.
It's funny because like our physics club or the SPS has these T-shirts that are red, and it's like if you travel, I forget like exactly how fast, and the shirt appears green. So you have to travel, I guess, a bit faster than the speed of light. Maybe I don't know. That just reminded me of it for some reason.
Good story.
Totally pointless. I'm just gonna ramble at this point.
No, it's okay. No, that no holds barred, Vanessa. You know how these shows work. You can bring up anything that you want, and we'll talk about it. Okay.
Today I had a peanut butter jelly sandwich for dinner.
And what did you have for dinner, Paul? Or haven't you ate dinner yet?
I had cereal.
Oh,
it's not nearly as cool.
I scarfed it down right before the podcast because it's all I had time for.
I had cereal last week.
I'm out of lunch meat.
I had cereal for a couple dinners last week. That's the greatest thing about being an adult is you can be a child by having cereal whenever you want.
I have Booberry and Frankenberry.
So Jeff in the chat room brings up a good point. Is the air is too thin to make the sonic boom? Didn't think about that aspect of it.
That's very true. There's not a whole lot to carry the sound wave.
Yeah. All right. So yeah, that guy is he should, you know, screw reality shows. They should just follow this guy around as he does amazing things, you know? Screw the Jersey Shore. This guy...
Go to the Jersey Shore off into the world and see what happens. I would watch that.
You're breaking up, Paul. What'd you say?
I said throw the Jersey Shore folks off of the edge of the world, and then I would watch that.
Yes! Let's do it! That'd be awesome. So...
Oh, okay.
Can you imagine what was going through his head when he was standing on that ledge, on that capsule going,
wow,
holy crap, holy crap, holy crap, I'm about to jump from 200 some thousand feet up, or whatever it was, or no, 127,000 feet up.
I would imagine he's just thinking, wow.
Nuts. Like I was thinking, like yeah. Before he jumped, that was what was going through my head. Like I was like him. I put myself in him going, I don't know if I could I do it. That's scary. You know, just what's going through
your
head.
You knew what you were doing?
Yeah. I guess if I was trained.
I don't know. I don't think I could not do it.
No.
If that makes sense. I'd be scared out of my mind, but I don't think I could just, I don't think I'd just stop. He's the kind of guy that would, even if he knew it was a bad idea, he would do it anyway.
Yeah.
I think that's pretty clear
based
on the fact that he decided to go anyway, even though he didn't have a working visor.
Did you know that the guy that was talking to him the whole time in Mission Control, he's the guy whose record Felix broke? That guy did the same thing. Well, didn't do the same thing, but he was the one that had... that held Lance the previous record. The previous record for altitude jumps. And then when he was jumping back in the 60s, something happened with his glove that air got in and his hand blew up to twice its size. His hand swelled up during the jump to twice the size. Yeah.
That strikes me as very uncomfortable.
I know. That would hurt a little bit. Yeah. All right, so we could talk about this all day, but let's not. I think it's awesome. We'll just leave
it. If you haven't seen it, you do yourself a favor and watch it. I mean, it's all over the internet, but you should seriously watch what you saw.
Yeah, and we'll put a link in the show notes too that you can watch it. Just check out the links that go along with the podcast and watch it there. All right, you can listen to all the Galactic Netcasts. Where, Anessa?
Online.
More specifically.
Online, where is that?
Stitcher Smart Radio is what I was looking for, and you answered it.
It's at online.com.
On the internet.
The tubes, the series of tubes. No, we are on Stitcher Smart Radio, and you can get it on your iPhone, your Android phone, your BlackBerry phones, your Android tablets, the Nook, any place that has internet connectability, that's a fun word, you can get Stitcher Smart Radio. And what you do is go to stitcher.com/GalacticNetcasts. It's been a while since I said front slash. Galactic Netcasts, and enter the promo code Galactic Netcasts. And if you haven't checked it out yet, Stitcher recently launched their Smart Station feature, which helps you discover new content based on your previous listening activity. So we thank Stitcher Smart Radio for their support of the time traveling robots in space. All right, we've got a whole list of picks this week, and I believe Paul has the first one.
Okay, I am going to recommend Argo. And you might be asking yourself, Paul, is this not a movie about the Iran bomb and Jimmy Carter and all of these issues? You are correct. But what you didn't know and what I didn't know is that they went there to the well. Just let's back up for just a second. This happened a year. This dates me, but this happened a year pretty much before I was born. So I didn't really know anything about this. I know Dave's shaking his head like,
oh, young.
But anyway, long story short, Iran gets very, like, the people of Iran just get generally pretty up with the United States and decided to more or less take over the United States embassy. And six people fled the embassy as a result and were essentially hiding out somewhere in Iran and had no way of getting out. And the plan that the CIA came up with in order to get them out was to pretend to be a film crew. And so they were pretending that they were going to be shooting a movie and then hopefully be able to fly out just commercially. And it's very dramatic, very, very good movie. I highly recommend it. But the movie that they were trying to make was hardcore science fiction.
Nice.
It was really cool. And the movie that they were trying to make was the movie script was called Argo. And it got to a point where they had to make this thing look so legitimate, they hired a producer, like a real Hollywood producer, and they hired a special effects artist. And they had a table read, they had this whole thing, just sort of this whole guise to try to put forward the legitimacy of this movie. Mm-hmm. They put up storyboards, like they had storyboards with them when they were on when they left. It was it's really fascinating stuff. In fact, the whole premise of science fiction, I mean, everybody of course in this audience knows that the science is a really good guide to discuss something that would otherwise be very difficult to discuss.
Mm-hmm.
And I get the impression that to try to get some empathy out of the Iranians, because once you describe the film to them, like, it's about very, very, like, meek people, farmers and such, rising up against the alien oppressors. So it's like, I think they kind of related to that in some way, or just like they were like, oh yeah, you know, like, this is, you know, I can get behind this movie. So really, really great, and I highly recommend it.
So did this movie ever get made? Like, what did they do with the footage? No. It's really too bad, because that would have been awesome if it would have got actually made.
I know. Wouldn't it, though? Like, could you imagine, like, just had they released the film, like, you know, in the 70s, no one knew that the whole reason the film got made was to get these United States citizens out of Iran.
Why not just play the whole thing out? Just go all out, go all the way to the end, you know?
Seriously. This wasn't declassified until E9. So, yeah, it's amazing. Like, again, I was alive during this time, but this whole hostage situation was a really, really big deal, because you had a bunch of United States citizens in the embassy that couldn't get out and were being held hostage. And they were in Iran as hostages for over a year.
Mm-hmm.
And it just, I mean, in fact, a lot of people use, like, it's the common belief, the reason that Jimmy Carter was a president again was because he couldn't successfully get out these Americans.
Yeah, the month after Reagan took office, or like the week, or I forget, it was really quick after Reagan took over, the hostages came back really, really quick. So I remember it very well. In fact, you know the show Nightline on ABC with
didn't they Nightline because of this?
Yeah, that began as a nightly thing about the hostage crisis. It was like a countdown, you know, day 25 of the hostage crisis in Iran.
Right, they had numbers on there.
Yeah, And it turned into, that turned into Nightline. So.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
That is absolutely. But yeah, I go see it. It's directed by Ben Affleck. It's really, really good.
No, I've seen the previews. It looks pretty awesome. I'm going to see, what am I going to see this weekend, Anessa?
Cloud Atlas.
Cloud Atlas. Thank you.
You'll have to tell me how that is. I don't know how I feel about that movie.
Yeah, Brad. Alien Invasion, Brad. We talked about this on the Alien Invasion, and he's like, I'm not quite sure. So I will report back to both of you as to how awesome or bad it was. It looks beautiful. It's a beautiful looking movie from the previews that I've seen.
It does look good.
Yeah. All right. Argo, pick number one, pick number two. Anessa, what's yours?
It's another podcast.
Yay.
Stardate.
How dare you?
It's an astronomy.
How dare you listen
it's
to
an
another
podcast? I'm sorry.
Forgive me.
But this is from my pre-Galactic Netcast days.
It's all right.
So, it's Stardate. It's actually put on by... it's an outreach of the University of Texas down in Austin through the McDonald Observatory, which is out by Fort Davis in West Texas. And it's a very short podcast. Usually they're maybe 3 minutes long, so 3 to 5 minutes. And they basically talk about what's currently up in the night sky, any sort of events that's on that people should be aware of. So if you don't have a whole lot of time to spend on podcasts, but you still want to know what's up over your head, give this one a listen. I've heard it on the radio before, so it's not just a podcast. They have little segments that up in different radio stations, and apparently it's aired in more than 300 stations.
Wow.
Across the country. So
being a short podcast, is it called a podcast et? Podcast it? Podcast it?
I don't know, because the Scientific
yes.
American
just,
podcast
yes.
will claim that they're podcasts, even though some of them are 6 seconds long.
Okay.
So, I don't really know.
That would be fun. To make a really short podcast just for the hell of it, you know?
It would. It's straight to the point, not a lot of... Yes, I guess.
Well, what you could
no peanut butter jelly sandwiches included.
What you could do, this would be a great way to get subscribers, because a lot of times subscribers look at the amount of episodes that you've done. So just do a bunch of short episodes and then start the regular length shows after like 210 second episodes.
But I really like the podcast. The website's pretty, a lot of information if people are interested in astronomy. They also have a monthly magazine they put out, or maybe it's every couple of months, five months. Yeah. It's cool stuff. I recommend it.
Cool. So they will tell you, like, highlights, like what you should be looking for, if there is like a meteor shower or like a certain constellation that you can see better now, is that the kind of thing?
Yeah, that kind of thing. So they might have one night, it'll be like, Jupiter is really awesome tonight. You should go check it out. Or like, hey, there's a meteor shower coming up this weekend, which there is.
All right.
Units, I think? I forget.
And it's not very good.
Well, there's some really awesome ones, and there's some less awesome ones. My boss actually had to talk to one of the local radio stations today, and like, I don't know why they're calling, because this was not supposed to be all that impressive, but whatever.
They probably got, somebody probably told them that, hey, there's a meteor shower this weekend. Hey, we should get out, this topical. Let's talk to somebody that knows about it. You know, that's probably how...
Well, because... There was another meteor shower at the beginning of the month, and nobody ever called them on that one.
Yeah.
So.
Well,
okay.
You know, it's just like anything in life and anything on the internet. You really can't predict what's going to be popular. And this one just happened to be more popular than the other one.
It's, I don't even remember what the other one was. But yeah, like it's one that people have heard of, more familiar with it, because there's a lot of showers that just have really odd names.
Was it Perseids, the one that was earlier this month?
No.
So this weekend is the Orionids. At the beginning of the month. Actually, no, they didn't include it on this website that I just pulled. The Perseids were in August.
Oh, okay. All right. Got it.
But it was one that, I don't remember what it was. Aconids, maybe.
Okay. Cool. Well, yeah. Check it out. If you like short podcasts, if you like stars and stuff, then definitely check out Stars and Stuff. That's going to be the name of my podcast about the night sky. Stars and Stuff.
Stars and Stuff. It's whatever.
All right. Let's go from
Hey, look, there's stars.
Yeah. And that's it. That's the podcast right there.
Have a good night.
Yeah. See you next week, guys.
Hey, look outside. There are stars.
And stuff.
That's it.
All right. So let's go from Anessa's really brainy pick to my brainless pick of Mystery Science Theater 3000, the episode titled Manhunt in Space. So this was, I think, early in the show's run because Joel Hodgson was still the person in the Satellite of Love. He was the one that was stuck in space. Although Mike Nelson did make an appearance as a character on this episode. Have you guys both watched Mystery Science Theater 3000, the show?
Yes.
Sure.
Okay. So the movie they watched, well, first they watched a short of General Hospital from like 1963 or something like that. It was really, really bad, as you can imagine. And then they got into the guts of the main feature, which was a 1954 movie called Manhunt in Space, which really was a bunch of serials put together forming a movie. When they were first released back in the 50s, they were released as serials. As you recall, serials were short, like episodic films, movies that were shown before the main feature. And this was all put together and released as a full-length movie, I think, in the 1970s, finally. So it consists of three consecutive episodes of the Oh, man, I didn't even do my own prep here. It was a TV show. Wasn't a serial. So Rocky Jones, Space Ranger, was the original name of the show. And that was the character from this movie. Rocky and his co-pilot, Winky, are sent into space to try to foil a gang of space pirates who have been preying on cargo ships sent out by the United Worlds and who have also captured Rocky's girlfriend, Vina. Rocky is aided by a new invention, cold light, which in much the same way as heat causes mirages to appear in the desert, causes an object to become so cold it disappears. Unsurprisingly, the space pirates are employed by sexy but evil queen Ophesius, I think is the name. So this is so cheesy. It's like, you know how it was perfectly fine, I'm sure, when it came out in the 1950s. Like, this was the way that they thought space would be, and this is the way that they talked in the 1950s, but you watch it now, and it's totally over the top and cheesy. Like, it reminds me of, did you guys ever see the episodes of Star Trek Voyager when Tom Paris, his holodeck, he had a series of holodeck stories revolving around these same characters, and it was based on 1950 sure. science fiction movies. And Captain Proton, sure. I think, is the name. I think. But if you were to put Captain Proton next to Rocky Jones' Space Ranger, they would look almost exactly the same. Because I can imagine the creators of Star Trek Voyager watching this as inspiration for Captain Proton. Because it's the same. It's exactly the same. So yeah, it's on Netflix. And so is a bunch of pretty much all of the other Mystery Science Theater episodes. So if you're a fan of Mystery Science Theater, old campy science fiction, as Anessa put in the chat room, then definitely check out this one and the rest of Mystery Science Theater. They did some great things in between each portion of the movie, too. Like, what was some of the stuff they did? They talked about how they kept on using space. They put space in front of all these things on the spaceship. Because you're in space, you have to have space on tacked onto every word, you know? Like, your space blanket, you know? You're
it's kind of like Batman.
Yeah, exactly.
Like
yeah.
Bat.
Yeah.
Like, the bat shark repellent and the bat ladder and the bat cave and the bat cycle and
the space, bat. Space toilet, as Jeff said, as Jeff's in the chat room says.
Space toilet.
Oh, I wanted to mention one more thing too. They had these helmets. This is how they breathed in space. Is they didn't have space suits. They just had a helmet. And it was a clear plastic helmet that they just put on over their that's all the protection they had was a helmet. It looked dumb as hell. It looked like a terrarium. Do you guys know what a terrarium is?
Mm-hmm.
That's what their helmets look like. Were big terraniums that they put on their heads. All right. That's all I got to say about that. That's my pick.
All right.
Terrarium?
Terrarium? Did I say it wrong?
I was thinking about it. Is it terrarium or terrarium?
What did I say?
You're talking about the round thingy.
Yeah,
you
yeah, yeah.
Terrarium?
Yeah. Terrarium?
Terranimo?
What
about like the round glassy thing?
Yeah.
Like stuff inside, like yeah. plants and whatnot.
Yeah.
Yeah, a terrarium.
Okay, all right. Okay.
It's okay.
All right.
I had to think about it for a bit. I'm like, yeah, I know what he's talking about, but.
If you want to watch the movie, if you want to watch Manhunt in Space without being polluted by Mystery Science Theater, it's on public domain, so I'm sure you can find it on the internetarchive.org website. All right.
Cool.
We want you to go to our picks page at galacticnetcast.com, and if you want to, we might be able to put a few of these on our picks page. Maybe not, because Argo's in theaters. You can't get that yet.
Oh, it's in theaters.
Anessa's a free podcast, not available, and mine's free on public domain. So, yeah, never mind. But you can go back and check out our...
They can buy the MST3K episode
yes.
DVD.
Yes, you're right. Yeah.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you very much. You're always saving the day, Anessa, and I thank you for that.
I try.
So you can check. You can buy Mystery Science Theater 3000 through our picks page by going to galacticnetcast.com, and what you're doing is you're going to Amazon if you purchase anything that we have on our picks page, or just go to our picks page and buy something else not even related to our shows, and we will get credit for that. And that's a way for you to help us. It's a way for you to help support the Galactic Netcasts network. All right, one final piece of business before we wrap up this week. Question of the week. Paul, this is yours, right? You prepped the show?
Yeah.
So what's
The question is, if you were to make a Terminator 5 movie yourself, what would be your premise?
Oh, man. Holy cow. That's a deep question. I will let
Too much?
I will let you guys go first while I think of mine.
Well, I know what Inessa is going to say.
Yeah. I wouldn't, just because I stopped at Terminator 2. So that was good enough for me.
The thing is like, I could, I don't want serious answers here because, like, you know.
Everybody goes shopping. Only, I can only
think of jokes. Like, why don't the robots and the humans just go into the future to figure out if whatever plan they had worked out? Hey, that would make crappy movie.
Yeah.
But it's practical.
We did something wrong. Let's go back and try this again.
The end.
I'm running to the forward, running to the future, trying to see if their decisions worked.
Okay, true. I got an answer.
All right.
I want to combine two Schwarzenegger movies into one. I want to combine The Terminator with Kindergarten Cop. So I want...
It's not a Toma.
I want the Terminator to be teaching
how these things are going to be complete.
Teaching a kindergarten class, but then he would probably kill all the kids, so that wouldn't end well, right?
That most likely would not end. You're correct, sir.
Okay.
Yeah, that would be bad.
So, Paul, why don't you inspire us by your answer?
Well, I already said it.
He was uninspired, Paul.
Sorry. No, I guess I wasn't as inspired as I wanted it to be.
I liked your answer.
Oh, okay. That was okay. I'm sorry. I wasn't even following along. That was your answer. Okay. All right.
This is kind of because it evokes some sort of mentality that we need to be serious about. Like, hey, what would be an actual good Terminator 5 movie? Fight that urge. We're looking for bad Terminator movies.
Okay. All right. So I got another idea. Let's combine a story that we had earlier, a found footage movie. Make the Terminator a found footage movie.
That would work. I like that. Okay, I'm on board with that.
You know, maybe make it third person.
But it's Terminator. That'd be awful. Can you imagine if, like, my bike thought that was a good idea?
Brilliant!
I wouldn't put it past him. See, that's the thing, is, like, a part of me would say, no, this would never happen, but some might.
Yeah. Yeah, you don't tempt him. Do not tempt Michael Bay.
Let's ruin another part of my childhood. Go ahead.
Yeah. So, maybe a musical, a Terminator musical?
Okay. Okay.
With jazz hands?
Terminator the musical.
On ice.
You can make this happen. On ice. Jeff thinks it's a good idea.
Oh, they could do a song. I'll be back. I'll be back. I'll be back. I'll be back.
All right. That's it. I'm pulling the plug. I'm sorry I asked.
No, this is a great question, Paul. Way to go. I like it.
I'm down with the musical. That's fun.
Very nice. How about Terminator on another planet? Maybe the machines go off the Earth and hunt for their, I don't know.
But Jeff suggested on ice with the Muppets.
With Muppets. Yes. All right.
For me, is the...
Derailed, sir.
No, this was a great question. Thank you for... No, Paul. Don't sell yourself short. That was a great question.
I'm not. It's not just me. I can't control how you people are going to friggin' answer.
Can't
have anything nice.
Did you just drop an F-bomb, Paul?
No, I did not.
It
was close.
It sounded like it because you broke up. I'm like, it sounded like he just said the F-word.
He was saying it, though.
I was. That's true.
All right, folks. If you have an answer to our question, we would love to hear it. Call our voicemail number, 805-328-3966. You can email galacticnetcasts@gmail.com or subscribe. We want you to do that as well. Go to subscribe.galacticnetcasts.com and please subscribe to the Time Traveling Robots in Space. I included
feedback.
Yes, feedback. We mentioned this on the Alien Invasion, and it pretty much goes for both shows because neither really specify. Well, the one mentions both. The other one mentions neither. So it kind of covers all the ground.
All or nothing.
Yeah. So Jason, he's a big fan of ours. We've gotten email or a voicemail from him before. Jason from Kansas here. That's what he writes. I wanted to say thank you for putting out such an awesome and informative podcast. My wife and I just finished all the episodes of Doctor Who on Netflix, something that Paul should do as well. You should start watching those. And we are hooked. And it's because of this podcast that I got back into it. So again, thank you all. So, and then we got one from Derek, an email from Derek. Hey guys, just listened to both your shows on Stitcher. All I have is a smartphone, so my internet is kind of limited. Time Traveling Robots in Space was awesome, but I got to ask what happened to the sci-fi film school. I really enjoyed the way you guys went into great detail about obscure sci-fi movies. It was great. I know you probably have your hands full, but just saying, you were all doing a great job. Keep it up. These podcasts have become a ritual to me. So thanks to Derek and Jason for leaving us feedback.
Yes, thank you. It's awesome.
Indeed.
But he's listening.
Yeah. It's nice to get confirmation that we actually have people listening to what we're putting out there.
For sure.
And we have...
Yeah. Thanks, everybody, for joining us in the chat room. And speaking of sci-fi film school, I think that we should bring it back. We should bring it back for a special one of these days. That should be our next special, is sci-fi film school.
We should. Like, maybe... We could bring it back as a once a month thing.
I don't know. We'll see. If maybe in the winter when my schedule slows down a little bit.
We need to hurry up and go up there then, because I miss it.
Yeah, no, it's fun. It's fun stuff. And maybe we should include like not just Anessa, myself, and Matt. Maybe in, you know, bring Paul and Brad in.
Brad?
Yeah, I forgot Brad's name for a second. Wow.
Way to forget Brad.
Wow. It's been a long day. I blame that. No, maybe
I get it.
Maybe bring these two in as maybe not because we were only limited to four people on Spreecast. Maybe just bring them as rotators, you know? I don't know. We can talk about it some more later.
I think that would be fun.
Okay.
All right, that's going to do it for this episode of the Time Traveling Robots in Space. Thanks for joining us. And as always, final thoughts. Let's go with Anessa first.
Jazz hands.
Paul.
That's all I've got.
Be excellent to each other.
All right. We'll talk to you guys next week.
Bye.
Leave your hailing frequencies open and scanners on full, because another Galactic Netcast will be approaching your coordinates soon. For more information, go to galacticnetcasts.com.